Yes, all right, all right, all right. Get this done. Amen. All right, we'll try, we'll try. Come on. Come on. Amen. That's good. All right. Hey. All right. Now, hey, y'all didn't have to stop. You didn't have to stop so quick, okay? I'm used to it going on a little longer. No, I'm... Amen. Go to Psalm 107, all right? Psalm 107, while you're finding your place. That's a hard book to find. It's right there in the middle of your Bible, all right? Psalm 107. You'll find Psalm 107 this morning. Marty Stallnaker. Man, it's good to see you. I'm telling you. Y'all are a blessing. You encourage me just sitting there, Brother Stallnaker. And I appreciate you. A wise man, I'd encourage you. If you need help and you need counsel, I'd encourage you to get to Brother Stallnaker. And he's been a good friend to me for many years. Steady, steady, a man of faith. I appreciate him. And it's good to see you here. I've got to take care of two things quickly, though, if you allow me to just state this. I am Emma Arkin's daddy. Okay, that is true. I am. Listen to me now. This is the other one. This is very important. I am not, I repeat, I am not Brother Colin's little brother. Okay? I'm not. We've both been blessed by God with these good looks. We both share perfect heads. We both wear these glasses just to make ourselves look smarter, all right? And I appreciate Brother Collins. I remember when he came here, I don't know, 25, 26 years ago, as a he came as a master's student, and he was full of life and full of excitement even then, but he was also always gracious and humble and always greeted me in chapel, and I appreciated Brother Collins, but we are not related, okay? And I appreciate that. Psalm 107, I want to read the scripture so I can move on and give you the truth. I'm on assignment. You see, I appreciate the invitation. And Brother Bushy, thank you. And it's representing the college and their invitation. Thank you very much for it. I'm honored and excited, and it's a privilege to be able to come. I enjoyed teaching class last hour, and I look forward to what the Lord has for me to do while I'm here. And I'm privileged and humbled to be standing before all of you that have surrendered, seeking God's will, dedicated and committed to fulfilling it and finding it, and I want that for you. I want to try to help you this morning with the truth that God's given me. I'm just a young man who came to college not knowing much of anything at all and just tried to step through the doors that God appeared and seemed to be opening along the way. I'm grateful for what God taught me through Hiles Anderson College and the staff and all of the history and all of that. I could never repay it. I could never express the depth of gratitude that I have. But please accept it from me. And my gratitude to be serving the Lord together with y'all that are here this morning. Psalm 107, we're going to read a couple of verses. We're not going to stay here. We're going to jump to a couple of different passages today. But Psalm 107, if you look at it, beginning in verse 23, the Bible says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven." Point out a couple of quick things here. In verse 23, the Bible says, "They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. We can see the, if you would, the comparison here or a contrast, at least the application I'd like to make for you this morning is that we're going out to do our business. You'll leave out of here in a little while and you'll go to work and you'll go to your jobs or you'll go to whatever is next for you. But you got up this morning and you went to class and you're doing your business. This weekend, we'll go out to the city and the streets and making visits and soul winning and doing, hey, we're doing business in great waters. We're going out. And that's, life is like that. Now, of course, the Lord is telling us about these men that are great merchants that are going out into the great ocean. And when they get out there, they see the great works of God, but there's no word of them honoring God or realizing that they are the works of God. But God is going to reveal His strength to them in just a little bit. When He raises, if you would, with the wind, He's going to raise the waves, sometimes 20, 30 stories out there in the middle of the ocean. And He's going to bring those ships high on those waves. And then just as quickly and just as surprisingly as He brought them up, He's going to bring them crashing down into a void in a valley. And the Bible says that their soul will literally melt within them. They'll lose all strength. They'll lose all consciousness of what's going on. They'll be totally empty and void of anything. The Bible says that they get to their wit's end. I mean, that's when they cannot rationalize or logic anything. There's nothing left. They're beyond the end of their rope, if you would. And at that time, the Bible says that then they cry unto the Lord. What a shame it is that we got to get to that point before we cry on the Lord. It might be a good idea if we cried before we headed out. But we know that God uses these high places and these low places to get our attention, to get us to cry out. And I just say this to you, listen, in a few days, if it's not already happened to you now, in a few days for somebody my age, could be weeks or months or years or yesterday. But in a few days, somewhere or another, you're going to get to a place where your soul melteth on the inside. And you're going to come to your wit's end, how you're going to get that money or how you're going to be able to finish that job or that task or reach that route or whatever it may be, you'll get to that place. But I want to tell you about this answer. He said, then they are glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. I want you to know that if you will cry out and if you will hang on with God, He'll get you where you want to be. No matter how in despair you are and how low your soul becomes and how at your wit's end you are, if you'll hang on to God, He'll get you where you want to be. He'll get you where He wants to be. And if you want His will, you'll get there. Now, this message comes to me by way of a long time ago. Back in 1976, the old Sword of the Lord newspaper, it's still in existence today, but the Sword of the Lord newspaper was a paper for revival and promoting soul winning and salvations. And they put out a call for pastors and preachers to send in their best evangelistic sermon. And we just kind of want to get the best evangelistic, the sermons that will call people to Christ. And they put that call out, and hundreds of pastors across the country sent in their sermons written out. And the sermon that won first place in that contest and was preached at the Sword of the Lord convention that year was a sermon by a man out of Indianapolis, Indiana, and it was entitled The Titanic. the sinking of the Titanic. Now, I'm not a big student of the history of the Titanic, though I love history. But the sermon went on to speak of the hubris of the builders of the Titanic and the pride of the Titanic and the lack of recognizing God in the Titanic. And it emphasized that shipwreck of the Titanic, and then it called people to Christ. And it was one of the most powerful sermons that were preached that year. Even our founder of the college here got up after the man preached the sermon and said, "I don't think there's anything else that needs to be said." And they had an invitation, and he wasn't going to preach, but then Dr. Rice had him preach anyways. But it was the history of that message captivated me, and I read the message, and it made me think. Now, I'm not preaching that message, but it made me think of the shipwrecks in the Bible. And this passage here that these men and God is kind of putting us, if you would, as merchants or sailors going off to sea. And we often make that application that we are traveling along the sea and we're in our ship. And we love to sing that song, Ship Ahoy. And we love where it brings us to get the captain on board. Amen. And we like that. But I want to just ask you this morning and to pay attention with me for a few moments, and I want to try to help you to avoid the shipwrecks of life. I've seen so many over these past 24 and a half years pastoring the church there, 30 years in the ministry, and I've seen it, and I've just seen it in recent days. People who have now made shipwreck of their life. I want you to turn with me over to the book of 2 Chronicles. Very quickly, and I wonder, in our passage here in Psalm 107, you had the venture of the men, and you had the violence of the sea, and you had the voice of the sailor crying out, and you have the victory of the Savior. That's for some of you that got to put together an outline for someone, okay? And I didn't give that to you with it, while I gave it to you after you turned, all right? I mean, you know. I was called a gospel hobo one day. But let me tell you something. You write down every outline you can. And you write down every message you can. And you rework it and you preach everything you can. If God gave it to them, He gave it to you. Amen. That's why we give them. And so pay attention. Be a student of it. Learn the craft of preaching. And but if you would, over in the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles quickly. And I don't typically like to do this when I'm preaching out, to be turning from verse to verse. I like to just stay in one place and preach, but I find it necessary this morning because I see here there's some reasons that why our lives get shipwrecked. And I want you to notice this character here in 2 Chronicles in chapter 20. And I appreciate the Marylanders singing this morning. That warmed my heart, and I appreciate that. I appreciate Maddie and Lily. I led their mom to Christ some 24 and a half, 25 years ago. And you've made your mom look good. I don't know about your dad, but you've done well. And then, of course, Lyris is out of our church, and I appreciated you singing, Lyris. And Elias's dad pastors the church that sent out me. The church that I got right with God in. It was good to see y'all singing. Matt, I appreciate you jumping in there and becoming a Marylander. Just move to Maryland when you're done. It'd be fine. We'll make you an honorary one. It's easy, right? Isn't that good, Lily? He'd do good in Maryland. It'd be fine. Hope, it was such a blessing to see you last hour and here. She lives in Glen Burnie. That's where we first moved when we started our church. And I appreciate her daddy and their church. You're there in 2 Chronicles in chapter 20. Look down, if you would, at verse 31. The Bible says, "And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 30 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 5 years in Jerusalem." Look at verse 32. "And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord." Isn't that a good testimony? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And it says that he followed in the steps of his daddy. His daddy was a fairly good king, had a couple of little missteps, and paid for it with his feet. Must have been wearing them old Dayton patent leather Stacy Adams that I wore for 23 and a half years. till my feet went bad. But I'm telling you, he carried out the heritage. And you know, and some of you have got a godly heritage. And I'd encourage you, walk in the steps of your parents. Do that. And he has his testimony that he walked, that he was right in the sight of the Lord. But then a very sad thing is mentioned in verse 33. It says, howbeit the high places were not taken away. And as yet, the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, and of course, they're recorded. And there's, listen, sometimes, listen, as preachers and as leaders, and many of you will lead, and you'll be ladies that are leading young ladies, and men and young men leading young men. And sometimes the people you're leading, they're not fully committed and fully plugged in, and you can only take them so far because they won't let go. But make sure you're not the one who won't let go. Make sure you're not the one who's not fully prepared to let go. That he could not do all that I think maybe was in his heart because he had a people that would not let go of those high places that Solomon had started and left. And can I just say this to you? Be careful what you do because the people following you won't let go of those things. You may experiment, you may try something, but there's people watching you. You may have come here and you're just out of high school. You feel like, man, I'm just a young person. But listen, those little boys and little girls that you pick up on them bus routes, and yeah, even some of them adults, they see you and they look up to you and they think you're somebody. They think you're spiritual. You're representing the Lord. And listen, and when you mess up, friend, it'll mess them up. Solomon messed up even all the way down to Jehoshaphat. But we read on here, and God's bragging about Jehoshaphat. He's a good king. He's got a good reputation. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he had a good testimony. He was a good man. He'd be, if you would, in our circles. He'd be preaching the special meetings. He would be someone that we would look up. He's the picture we would see in the periodicals. He's the one that we would see on social media, if you would, displaying a great feats and big days and having, if you would, revival going on around him. But the Bible says in verse 35, and after this, listen, all of these good things, it says, after this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. Now, the Bible tells us, you don't have to turn there, but it tells us over in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 48, it says, Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat would not. Listen to me. Jehoshaphat had some ships. And these are the ships that he talked about. And he joined himself with Ahaziah to go. And the purpose of sending those ships was to go get some gold to build up, if you would, the coffers of Judah. And there may have been a few good reasons, but verse 37, the Bible tells us that there was a prophet who came, and that prophet was the son of Dodavan. And he prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thine works, and the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. I'm telling you that his ships were wrecked. And his ships were wrecked. There's a because in the verse. I like it when God tells us why. He doesn't always, and he's not obligated. He doesn't have to. And sometimes the leaders here and the authorities here are going to tell you some things, and sometimes they'll tell you why, and sometimes they won't. And we just need to go on, whether we know the why or not. We need to obey and follow our authorities. But I like it when God tells us why, and he told us why he wrecked Jehoshaphat's ships, and the why is found right there in verse 37. It's because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah. Can I tell you what will wreck our ships? Number one is wrong associations. Wrong associations. When we begin to associate ourselves with those that God would not have us associate ourselves with, He'll wreck our ship over our associations, over the crowd we get with. Look, listen to me. Friendship does not mean fellowship. Friendship does not mean fellowship. And fellowship is not followship. I can be your friend, but that does not mean that I'm going to go everywhere you go and do everything you do. Are you following me? I try to be a gracious and kind and a loving person. And when I become your friend, when I decide to be your friend, I'll be your friend till Jesus comes. I'll be your friend in person, but I cannot necessarily partner in your pollution. And you will, as a younger person, you'll make some friendships while you're here, and you should. But very often, you will make a friendship, and such a strong bond will be there that, look, you will, if you're not careful, you will compromise yourself over a friendship. And listen to me, God does not wink at it because He's your friend. He will, listen to me, He will wreck your ship. Being a friend doesn't mean that I have to partner in your pollution. Are you following me? And many, listen to me, many for the sake of friendship have ruined their ministries, their testimonies, and have compromised. And listen, whether they know it or not, God has wrecked their testimony, their ministry, and their real effectiveness for God. And friend, I want to warn you this morning. Your life can get wrecked by the wrong associations that are there. When you partnered with the wrong person, can I tell you something? Pursuing prosperity without principles will wreck your ship. He tells us in 1 Kings what it was. There were some good reasons. Listen, politically, there were some good reasons. Prosperity, there were some good reasons. Understand that Judah was in a small place. You know about the divide of the kingdom. You had the 10 northern kingdoms, and then you had the southern kingdoms there. And Judah only had a little piece down in the southern part of the nation there that had a coastal, or if you would, anyway, to the water. But Israel had great access to the waterways. Israel had great, if you would, roads and ways to get to where all the trade cities were and all the trade nations were. And so Jehoshaphat kind of said in his mind, you know, it would be nice to have access to those roads. It would be nice to have access to those waterways and those, if you would, harbors that are there. And Jehoshaphat had a good reason politically to be able to shore up some alliances and for the prosperity of the nation. It was a good reason. And listen to me, sometimes it looks like somebody's got some clout and somebody has got some connections and somebody could help me maybe get the, hey, listen to me, God doesn't need anybody to get the gospel, hey, that's compromising. He doesn't need you to join up with somebody who doesn't believe that this Bible and the right Bible. God doesn't need you to compromise your standards and convictions to be able to reach people. Listen, I understand we're not living in the 1950s. I never lived in the 1950s. But can I tell you something, friend? It is 2025 and the Bible has not changed. Compromise is still causes lives to become shipwrecked. Don't get to thinking that, oh, they've got more subscribers than I do. They've got more likes than I got. They got more followers on social media. And if I could get yoked up with them, hey, I'd have a greater influence. I'd have a farther reach. Friend, listen to me. Nobody's got a farther reach than God does. God knows how to pair you up and get you where you need to be. You don't need to associate with somebody because they have greater avenues of outreach. They have better port cities than you do. Listen to me, you've got the God of the universe. It's not time to compromise. It's not time to yoke up with somebody. It's not time to do that. The principle of separation is still in the Bible. Listen, he had a good reason for peace. And I like to be at peace. I hate to have conflict. I hate to have to confront people. I hate having to pastor people and tell them, hey, listen, you're not really heading in the right direction there. We're not going to be able to do that. I hate having to tell people that come into my church and want to hand out literature that, hey, is not using the King James Bible, is not coming from a place that believes in salvation by grace. I hate having to tell them you can't hand that stuff out here. Hey, this is a Baptist church. We're not Catholics here. I hate to have those confrontations, but I'm glad I came to a college that taught me to have some grit, taught me to have some boldness, taught me to, hey, write down where my convictions were and never change. You see. And listen, and I don't plan to, and I'd hope you'd get the idea here that, hey, listen, wrong associations. Jehoshaphat was a good king. We're not talking about some wicked, compromising dirt bag. We're talking about a great king that God said did right in the sight of the Lord. But friend, hey, he had a problem, and his problem was he was soft in this area of associations. You be careful. You freshmen that have come here, you've come, a lot of you have come from a lot of strong churches. You've come from a lot of places, and you've got to, hey, listen, you got to be careful who you associate with. You say, well, everybody here in the college, and I hope everybody here in the college, ultimately, we ought to be kind and nice to everybody. But you understand, you can find quickly who is serious and sincere about serving God. And be careful of that. The ones that are not, they'll bubble up. They'll either get right with the Lord or they'll go away. But don't you go away with them because you got associated. Can anybody say amen to that? I'm saying to you that wrong associations, friend, wrong associations. They're punished. Listen to me. He was punished for his ungodly alliances. Listen to me. Even family could cause you to compromise. Even family could pull you out of where you ought to be. Listen to me. If God's called you to serve him, serve him. Stay faithful to God the rest of your life. The decisions that I made, and I know the decisions that many made right here in this room, maybe it was after a Wednesday talk from Brother Hiles. Maybe it was after a message that a guest preacher preached, but I would make decisions at the invitation. Some of them I would write down. Some of them I just wrote on my heart and determined, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Listen, and make those commitments now, and don't let any association draw you away from those things. Friendship is not fellowship. I'm going to be a friend of my friends no matter what happens. They may go away from the faith. They may go away from this old-time religion. They may go away from these things. And I'm going to be kind and gracious. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for their children. I'm going to pray for their blessings. I'm going to pray that God would speak to them and God would protect them and God would draw them back. But I'm not going to go the way of compromise with them. You understand? Listen, I may not be able to associate with you, but I will not assassinate your character. You understand? Just because someone does go away doesn't mean I have to call them out. Doesn't mean I have to attack them. But I'm dead sure not going to go with them. Secondly, I don't have time for all of this, but secondly, you can jot it down. Acts chapter 27. Can I tell you something? What will wreck your ship is going with the wrong, listen, the wrong advice. Following the wrong advice. Acts chapter 27, you have the story there of the Apostle Paul getting on the ship. And he had the soldier, the centurion that was, he was his guard, and they were taking him to Rome. And they were getting on the ship, and they're about ready to sail. And Paul says to him over there, you'll remember it in Acts chapter 27. He said to Paul there, or Paul said to them in verse 9 of Acts 27, he says, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because, and they had their reasons, hey, it wasn't as comfortable to be there. It wasn't going to be as nice as the other place. This isn't a good place to winter in. I mean, the hotels here are kind of ratty. But if we get down there, it's a little warmer weather. It's a little more, they got better restaurants down there. There's a better economy over there at one of them other islands. This isn't a real comfortable place. They had their reasons to not want to stay there. But listen, you and I know him as the Apostle Paul. But listen, all they knew him as was probably a short little bald preacher that was speaking and saying, and not even with vigor, he admonished them. Not strongly, doesn't say he was harsh about it. He just said, sirs, I perceive this voyage is not good. We ought not go. I perceive. But friend, he wasn't a sailor. I mean, what was he? He was just a preacher. And more than that, he was a preacher that was in chains. More than that, I'm sure that his clothes were a little ratted and tattered and torn. I'm pretty sure that he didn't have any subscribers to his channel. I'm pretty sure he didn't have many views or many followers. I'm pretty sure he didn't have a great, if you would, influence. We know in retrospect that he had these things, but in that day, he was not known, if you would, though, Christianity was beginning to turn everything upside. The Romans weren't that impressed with him. They didn't think that much of him. He wasn't that much of anything. He had no money. He had no real clout. And though they thought he was pleasant enough, they weren't willing to listen to him. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Listen, if you're not careful who you're listening to, TikTok and all these things, that I don't try to be one of them preachers that's always talking about social media and all that stuff because I don't know enough about it to talk real good about it. But I do know this, it's got our attention. And you'll get to looking at these preachers that come across the platform here, and you'll see, man, I never heard of him. Paul Arcand, who's that? Man, his daughter ain't no more than 4'11". And he don't look much taller than that himself. Listen, I've never heard of him. I don't know anything about him. And you'll see some of these staff members that are here that are sacrificing to be here and to serve here, and they may not be driving the coolest cars and the latest things, and they may not have a social media presence all over the internet that you can see every 5 minutes they pop up in your feed, pushing their next big conference and pushing their next big thing and pushing their contemporary music and pushing their stuff. And you'll start listening to those folks instead of listening to the folks that God's put in your life, instead of listening to your old preacher back home, instead of listening to the authorities that God's brought into your life. You'll start listening to these advisors that seem to be the experts, seem to know about big ships and seem to know about big followings and seem to know about big impact and seem to know about a lot of these big things. But friend, listen to me. When you listen to the wrong advice, you're going to find yourself in the middle of a shipwreck. You'll be in the middle of a shipwreck. Why? Because you got the wrong advice. You better just hunker down and just say, hey, you know what? God led me to this Bible college. God led me to this place. God led me to these preachers. Hey, listen, God gave me a good pastor that led me. I got called. My pastor got me to a place where I was willing to surrender somewhere. Don't forget your pastor back home. And I don't feel bad about saying it because I know these men believe that. They understand someone sacrificed and paid and prayed and fasted and raised money to help get you to where you were. Listen, don't let these big, and I'm not saying everybody that's on the internet is bad. Don't misunderstand my preaching. But please, don't miss my preaching either. The wrong advice. Friend, you ought not be getting marriage advice from somebody who ain't never been married. You probably ought not be getting marriage advice from your roommate. You probably ought not be getting life advice by somebody, somebody doesn't hardly know you. Somebody who hadn't been committed to you. You understand? Listen, Paul, the Bible tells us that in a little while, Paul kind of was absent from the scene that was going on there, and that big storm came blowing in, and Paul was absent, but he wasn't alone. He was with the Lord. He was with the Lord. And when he came back up, he said, sirs, and I love this. I mean, I don't think this is the best policy all the time, but occasionally it works. But after long absence in verse 21, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me." You know what he was saying? He said, "I told you so." Now, nobody really likes a "told you so," but every once in a while, it's nice to just say, "I told you so. I told you so. Sirs, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to me, and we could have avoided all of this. It didn't have to come to shipwreck. We didn't have to have heartbreak. We didn't have to come to this place. We didn't have to have this. If you'd have just listened, if you'd have just obeyed, if you'd have just done what I admonished you to do." Friend, when we don't, we become shipwrecked. We become impatient. We become uncomfortable. And friend, listen to me, I like comfort. I like to be comfortable. I like leather seats and cool air-conditioned seats and all the stuff. I don't enjoy riding on buses. I've been a bus captain for the last year on the route, and all summer long it's been uncomfortable, and I've not liked it. I like being comfortable. But friend, comfort is not a reason. That's not a reason to not listen to the advice. A feeling is not a reason to not listen to the advice. Wrong authority, wrong reasoning. He ignored God's messenger. And he was influenced by human reasoning. Listen to me, everything that looks big, everything that looks shiny, everything is not necessarily right. Nor everything that's little and everything that seems tiny is right either. But you better discern, hey, you know what? I need to get under the right authority. I don't want to get with the wrong associations, and I don't want to be taking the wrong advice, because it will shipwreck you. And then if I had time to give you the last one, I would have told you over in Luke chapter 5, when we don't obey completely, or if you would, if to keep it alliterated, the wrong adherence. In Luke chapter 5, you have the story there. My Bible's closed. That doesn't mean anything. I don't really feel like teaching church ed anyways. I was hoping to get some help on that. But listen. In Luke 5, Jesus told Peter, you know the story, let down your nets, right? Let down your nets. Peter said, nevertheless, what did he do? What did he let down? What did he let down? How many nets did he let down? One. Just one net. Just one. And we go, oh, man. But listen, that one net, okay? He let down that one net. And the fish, he started to capture the fish. Started capturing the fish. And that's a wonderful truth there. I heard someone else tell this. This is not original to me. But that one net, it started to break, and they couldn't get it all. And so they called for the other ship. They called for the other ship. Now it's one ship, two ships are now trying to bring in this net. And the Bible says that the catch was so great that both ships began to sink. Both, the miracle, you know, the miracle of the great catch about the net, but I never focused. I always focused on the plural and the singular of the nets, but I never focused on the plural and the singular of the ship and ships. One net was sinking two ships. And friend, let me tell you something. When you don't obey God completely, when you don't obey, listen to me, partial obedience is disobedience. Incomplete obedience is disobedience. Jesus said, let down the nets. Let down the one. And friend, listen to me, when you have the wrong adherence or the wrong obedience, friend, it'll sink your ship. And nobody wants your ship to be sunk. Nobody wants to be shipwrecked. Oh, you might be like Paul's people, be able to float into that shore. And you might be like Jehoshaphat. But understand something about Jehoshaphat. He survived, but those guys on the ships didn't. You understand? Those of you that are following in leadership now, and that's what you're training to be as leaders, you have a great responsibility. Because your wrong associations, hey, you may survive it. And we may still have a tagline on your ministry of, hey, he did right in the sight of the Lord. But all of your followers or many of your followers will be shipwrecked because they didn't make it back to shore. They stayed out there in the shipwreck. From this morning, listen to me, avoiding the shipwrecks. God, listen to me, God is in the business. They were in the business in ships of seeking things, but God has a little side business called ship sinking. God sinks ships for wrong associations, wrong advice, and wrong adherence. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. Lord, do a work in our hearts. God, I pray some people would make some commitments to not become shipwrecked in their life. Father, I pray that you would do with the truth as you will. I pray this in Jesus' name.